start with a story. I read this story a few months ago and I was just amazed at the generosity of this young man. So it starts out, this teenager. His name is Shane Jones, and he was looking to earn a little extra cash last summer when he stumbled upon a YouTube video. Now, the YouTube video was on how you can make a bit of money for yourself. And it was, and I've seen it on TV. Who's ever seen on TV Storage Wars? No, some? What it is in America and Canada, if you have not paid for your storage unit and you're behind in a month, they can actually lock it up and they can sell all the things that are inside your storage unit and sell it off. And Storage Wars I love because of just the fun things they find in someone's unit when you buy it. You know, I can go along and bid on it. But when you see the other side of the story, like this young man saw, my heart just went out to the people who lose their items. So Shane thought it was explaining how you can make a bit of money by buying the contents of repossessed storage units. When renters stop paying the monthly fee, everything inside a storage unit is put up for auction. The videos explained how you bid online for the contents, sight unseen. You can't touch a box. You just look in and have a look and think, oh, yeah, that looks like that. Looks interesting. I'll bet on it. Shane thought it would be like a treasure hunt of sorts. It seemed like something fun to do, he said. I had some money I'd saved. So he's 16. And he went along to the yard sale in search for a storage unit that he could afford. He found an auction nearby and he put a bid. He'd saved enough money over, as we do now, we collect cans and bottles and you get 10 cents per item. Well, he had been doing all of that and he had $100 and he won the auction for this unit and he was so excited. He was surprised when he won, but when he went to his newly acquired unit, he realised right away that he shouldn't keep the items. As he sorted through the household goods, stuffed animals and personal mementos, he remembers feeling sad, especially when he found documents belonging to the original owner. I realised then that this wasn't the same as getting stuff at a yard sale where people had put it up for sale because they want to make some money and they're donating it to sell it or get rid of it. This guy was in prison and his storage unit was auctioned off because he couldn't afford to pay for his unit anymore. Anyway, he tracked down this man's mother in a retirement home and said, I would like to give you your son's items. Now, he didn't question, is he coming out of prison? What's happening with him? He just said, you would want to have these and you would want to give them to him if you are able. So he gave them away. And he said he called her up and she was elated to have it. Now, this reaction made him think, like, how many other units are being sold because someone can't afford to keep it anymore? So he then saved money and deliberately bought them so he could find out who belonged to them and he would give them back to them. And one of the people, oh my goodness, I read it and their tears came to my eyes. He said he came upon a woman. He bid it on the items and he tracked the person down and this woman had lost her job 2 years before she'd lost a child. She was living with her parents, but she could no longer afford the unit. And inside that unit was little mementos from the son that she had lost. And he gave them back to her. And she actually rocked up at his house because she said, I'll come and collect the stuff. And my heart just went out that this boy who was trying to be blessed realised he was already blessed. He had a loving parents. He had things. And he wanted then to give the blessing back to those who these items belong to, but to people. And that's what sparked my thoughts. We don't realize, and we need to realize, we as women of God are blessed. And then because of that, God wants us to be a blessing to others. We are so blessed. We can have a hard life. We are still so blessed because we have God in our life. This happiness, this blessing, because happiness, exchange the word for blessed. God created this need for happiness, this need for blessing within us. In Ecclesiastes, it says that he's put a hole in our hearts that only he can fill. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity into the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, to be blessed and to bless others, to be a blessing. Apart from him, we really don't be fully blessed. Oh, we might be happy for a time. We might feel like I've attained all this wealth or this wonderful career and this gorgeous family, and that is blessings from God. But the external things never truly make us blessed. It's God alone who blesses us and gives us that contentment. Jesus said, I've come to bring you life to the full. That's what he means by having a blessed life, because Jesus wants us to have all of these blessings of our lives. But even if we don't have those external things, we still feel happy and blessed. You may think, you know, that, okay, well, if I work hard, I mean, I didn't, but I know a lot of people were brought up with that you've got to make sure that you work really hard. I was brought up, be disciplined, be diligent, work hard, study. But it wasn't like, if you don't work hard, if you don't do the best, if you don't do this, nothing's going to come of your life. That's not true. God wants us to still be diligent. When he gave the story of the talents and the gifts that he gave to three people, he wanted the people to work with what he'd given them. Remember, they talked about the talents and like multiplying them, but one was a bit worried and scared, so he hid it. And it came back and was just still the same one. God wants us to use all of our gifts and abilities, but it's not about just us. God wants to make us in a way, but he wants us to see that it's only he who makes us happy and content and blessed. We don't have to put in the effort all the time. God himself frees us from the focus of the externals, and he brings the happiness and blessing. Until you find that happiness, you will forever be unsettled. You will forever want to try and get the next thing. You will forever want to get the best house and the best career and the best car and the best, because you think all of this will attain it. As we know, we don't need any of that really. And you can be as happy as a pig with biscuits. The pursuit for happiness is really the pursuit for holiness. Holiness is being who God created us to be, set apart for him. This blessedness is a solid, steady, immovable contentment that is rooted inside of us, even if the external environment isn't going well. You know, in the Old Testament, Jesus or God comes along and says to his people, to Israel, I will be your God and you will be my people. I am holy, so you shall be holy. It says it also in the New Testament in 1 Peter. And it's not, we always think it as a command. You've got to be holy because I am. No, God's heart is in it. And he says, because I am holy and you are my people and I love you, I will give you my holiness and you will be holy. It's a promise. It's a promise. So when we come, sometimes may feel like, I can't be a saint. I'm not like all the saints that I read about that, you know, hear voices and perform miracles and do that. No, we can. Because it's not us who does it, it's God within us who does it. It's our surrender that allows him to make us more holy. It's our acceptance of our helplessness. I am your God and you are my people, declared the Lord. He set us apart to be his. He set a tabernacle in the church, holy, set apart for him. He's done the same with us, his people. But we just need to accept it. He's a wonderful God who set us apart, called us to be his, given us a purpose. He's given us life to the full. He's given us this holiness and blessing and happiness across all of our life. Do you know, blessed in the Greek is Makaris, and the word was assigned to the Greek gods, and it meant they had an intrinsic ability to have this contentment and this happiness and this blessedness. Blessedness that Jesus would have used in the Aramaic and in the Hebrew, it actually was a had this emotion in it of congratulations. How amazing! You are blessed. So when he gets to do the Sermon on the Mount, it's not a sermon like blah, 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 because that's the image of the word to me of sermon. No, it's congratulations, you are blessed, you are holy, you are amazing because you're my people and I am your God. And when you see it like that, you just go, wow, Lord, look at the life you've given me. Oh my goodness, I am so blessed. And I want to make sure that others know about that blessing. And I want to bless others, even if they don't know about him. Because sometimes that's the only way they're going to hear about him. They're going to go, how can you be content and happy and blessed in your life when look at your circumstances? And that's when you can truly share what happiness is. The God who loves us. He has blessed us. We get this deep-seated joy from him. We are called to live in this blessedness. And the blessedness is the byproduct of being holy. And holy, remember, is just set apart for him. When I go to work, I'm at work, but I'm set apart for my God. And I start the day saying, Lord, can I be Jesus to people in my work today? Can I be set apart for you somehow? Make you proud, O Lord? And if I don't, then forgive me. You know, I'll try again, but in my trying, I know I can never attain what you can give me. All we need is God's mercy and grace, and we're done. Because yes, we still may have judgment and the repercussions of our life of what we may have done wrong. But when we turn to him, his mercy and grace is overriding anything. The Spirit of God, the blessedness that comes from God overrides any sin, any pattern of sin in our life. When you think I do the same thing, that is human frailty. But then we say, Lord, help me in this. Help me overcome this. I can't do it. And God will help you. He'll send the Holy Spirit. And one day you'll look back and go, oh my goodness, I've actually improved. Maybe I haven't totally overcome the problem, but I've improved in not being so angry like I used to be. I'm better at this. And make you, you know, say, wow, how awesome. How awesome am I? Because of who God is within me. Be proud of who we are. Not proud of me doing it, but of God doing it within me. When God gave us the Our Father, and I love this, when God gave us the Our Father, the disciples came to him and said, can you teach me how to pray? I've seen you go pray away to the Father. Can you show us? They had the rituals of the Jewish faith. They knew all these wonderful prayers from the Old Testament, but they saw there was something else. Because what did Jesus bring? Jesus brought the new kingdom. It wasn't just the law anymore. It was heart. I have come to fulfill the law. And he brought the heart of God. And in the heart of God, in this new kingdom, because we realize it more, we want the will of God in our life because we know it is only the best way to be happy, to be blessed, to be holy. And when Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven," he's saying, "Hey, Dad," because the Father, remember, was Abba. And the Abba was this close relationship, this intimate relationship, which was different to the Old Testament where God was more up on the mountain. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain and got the commandments and brought them down, but that was the law. You know the Sermon on the Mountain? Jesus comes to the mountain, sits down at the people's feet because he's going to teach them, and he brought the heart of God to them. So in this heart of God, yes, the law is not abolished. It is fulfilled, but it's the heart brought into those laws. And he shares with us, "Abba, Father, hey, Dad, holy are you?" That's what we're saying when we're saying the Our Father. And then it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." But it's not something we're saying far off. Okay, one day may your kingdom come. I know you're coming back again, Lord. Jesus is coming on a cloud. But it's not there. It's actually now. I can live in my life with the kingdom now because it lives within me. I live with the new kingdom rules now. I live with the heart of the kingdom now. And that was what, when I realize it, makes me happy and blessed and holy, holy unto the Lord. And it's a desire that just keeps motivating me and keeps motivating me. The Olympics have been on and people are motivated because they want to win that gold medal. Well, this is our gold medal. This is where we can all, and we all get gold medals, where we can all attain this holiness, this blessedness, this happiness that we desire, all of us desire in our lives. When we acknowledge him, we encounter this transforming power. Look at the Hail Mary. "Hail Mary, full of grace," that line's from the angel Gabriel when he rocks up and tells Mary, "You're going to be the mother of our Saviour." And the next line comes from Elizabeth. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." It was Elizabeth, her cousin, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, those words came out of her mouth, she realised, "You are blessed, Mary. You have God with you. You are holy. You are happy. You are fully content because you have been chosen by God and you have the Lord within you." Would you not like it when you walked into a room and someone went, "Wow, you are so blessed. I can just see this, feel this oozing of blessedness coming from you." You know, when you read Lives of Saints, some people said when that person walked into the room, that's what they felt. Because it was the Spirit with the Spirit feeling it within us. Would you not love that if someone walked in and went, "Wow, how blessed are you? How blessed are you?" Jesus declares this with his heart. When you touch the heart, you affect our outward behavior. So Jesus's way is, if I bring heart, it will help the law, the rules, if you want to call them rules, the guidelines, the behaviours, because it's we desire to, we want to. They're not laws and rules anymore. They're what I need to do to be as happy as I can be, to be as blessed and holy as I can be. And in Jeremiah 31:33, it says, "Put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." So Jesus has come to share us with the king, that share us the kingdom, because we have the grace that Jesus gives us is twofold. He has given us saving grace to save us from original sin, and then he has given us the grace to be sanctified, to become a saint, to be made holy, to empower us, and that's an ongoing thing. Now, I've read Lives of the Saints where St. Catherine of Siena at the age of 6, when I read what she was doing, I thought, whoa, even at 6 years of age, she was holy. But God was working in her life. He blessed her and gifted her, but he was working in her life her whole life while she was here on earth, empowering her to become holier, because as holy as the Lord, oh my goodness, to be holy as the Lord, it's totally pure. never doing anything wrong, always speaking well of people, always thinking well of people, always saying the right thing, always doing the right thing, always magnifying God. I don't do that. Do you do that? I'd love to do that and my desire to do that. But it's God who empowers me to do that more and more and more in my life. His power of life dwelling in us is more effective at producing the right behavior than any law which would demand it. The very life of Christ is in us and flows through us. Christ in me is my only hope. Jennifer Dean wrote, and I love this saying, Jesus died to get you into heaven, but Jesus lives to get heaven into you. We need to have heaven in us now. We need to live in the kingdom now. How happy. We should never have grumpy faces. We should be smiling. How blessed I am. I have the kingdom within me now. It is attainable now. And I can only improve with God in my life. I don't go backwards. God can fix up what I've done in the wrong past. I can ask for his mercy and forgiveness. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes he brings up things that I did when I was 2, 10. And I say, Lord, yeah, I remember that time. Please forgive me. Please help me. Please be gracious. His power at work within us. There's a guy called Spiros Zitos, and he said it like this. You go to a doctor sick. He states if you rest, if you take this medicine, the result will be recovery and wellness. This is what the Lord does on the Sermon on the Mount. He says that where the condition of poverty of spirit exists, the result is blessedness. So we start off with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. When we read that, sometimes when I was younger, I used to think, oh, so I've got to go, I'm so poor in spirit, I'm so down. No, poor in spirit is, this is me, Lord. You know, I don't do everything right. I need your help. It's acknowledging that we are helpless without our God. Yes, he's given us gifts and abilities, and he wants us to thrive and grow with them. If for example, the Olympics, if he put the ability for you to run in a race, he wants you to be the best you can be in that ability. But in all of that, we are still only human. We can only do as much as we can do. Some win the gold medals in Olympics, some don't, but they still achieve the best PBs that they can do. And that's what God asks of each of us. But in this, blessed are the poor in spirit, it is the first thing he starts with is he wants us to know that the new kingdom belongs to those who recognize that they were incapable of providing spirituality for themselves. They could not gain entrance into the kingdom by themselves. He wants us to know we need him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the down and out. But the poor in spirit goes even more than that. The poor in spirit explains that you're, and hear this right, what I'm going to describe now, the world would say that's ridiculous. We need to come empty-handed, weak, needy, stripped bare, emptied, exposed before the Lord. But you've got to understand, when you're like that before the Lord, that is different if you did that before people, before man. Before the Lord, he goes, oh, I just love you to bits. I just love you the way you are. I love you in your weak state, because when we are weak, he is strong. Whereas the world says, no, don't ever show anyone your weakness. You know, always pulled up the barriers, make sure, you know. But that's only protection. And I still got to do that. I don't know, you probably have to do that sometimes in your work, in your families, in different environments. You protect. So you don't get hurt. You don't go into an environment where you get abused or verbally, physically, mentally, whatever it might be. God would say don't. But before Him, who is all loving, all gracious, all merciful, He wants us to be vulnerable. He wants us to tell Him intimately how we're feeling, how we're going, how we're not going. I do that all the time. I'm blah, 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 sometimes crying in my prayer. Lord, I'm this. The other day, there I am, feeling a bit helpless. I was driving to work and the pressure at work has just been building and building and building. And I feel like I've got to keep pushing it away because they're like, they've got, and I understand it's the environment that they do. You've got to tick the boxes and you've got to pass all these things and you've got to do so many processes and make so many phone calls and do all this thing. And it feels like, oh, and every day they ask you, what have you done? What have you done? What did you do yesterday? You didn't do that many. What do you like the pressure, and I was feeling really helpless, and I just, was actually had tears in my eyes. And I thought I better not cry because I'm going to work, and then like the makeup's running and everything else. So, and I'm just crying out to the Lord, and on my phone, this is how bad it is. On my phone, I have an alarm to wake me up, an alarm 10 minutes later in case I've put the snooze button on and forgotten to wake me up, an alarm when I have to leave the house, an alarm when I desperately need the house if I haven't left on the first one. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, I'm in the car and the last alarm goes off. And in your car, if you want to talk on the phone, you know how you plug it in so it goes through your radio and everything, because you can't touch the phone. And so I had it plugged in. I was I had the radio off because I was actually praying to God, and the alarm went off. And I thought, because you can't, legally not allowed to lean across and even turn off the alarm. So you hear this noise, and all of a sudden, a song that was on my phone came onto the radio. The song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," by Bobby McFerrin, and it goes, "Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy." And so going to work through, I have to walk through this garden area where I park the car before I get to the building. There I am going, do, 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 do. And I'm walking away saying, "Don't worry, be happy." And it just made my day. And it's such an easy, everyone knows the little bit of, tune or song or whatever. I thought, Lord, you're just reminding me again. What are you worried about? The contentment is within me. And I need to bring that and actually put that up as a barrier to what the world sometimes does throw at us. Not just the world, but just life living on earth. This helplessness is actually our best prayer. A guy called Hallersby wrote, "This helplessness in our prayer calls from my heart to the heart of God, with greater effect than all our uttered other pleas. He hears it from the moment that you are seized with this helplessness, and he becomes actively engaged at once in hearing and answering this prayer." We're all dependent upon God. We need to realize it more. And so when we realize how blessed we are, we cannot help but want to be a blessing to others in whatever way we can. It could be just a smile. It could be, "Hi, how you going?" It could be, "I noticed you were not coping very well." Because women notice these things. I remember Bruce and I went to a party. And as we were leaving, I said, "Oh, did you notice, Sue Ann wasn't doing very well?" I went and spoke to her and he goes, "Nah, I never noticed anything." We pick up the vibes. We know. We're women. God's given us that gift. And so it says in Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This overflowing of hope that he gives us, we need to flow over. Emma, could I have you here for a second, please? So years ago, I started up when I was actually working. I was working as a pharmacist, and I would see customers who weren't coping very well or heard that they'd got cancer, or they're just sharing about family life, or just they had a bad day. And I used to make up these boxes, and they're called Love in a Box. And I used to get the staff to go drop them off to their house. I just put a little card in it and said, "Noticed you weren't doing very well today. Here's a bit of encouragement." So I've made a few up that I would like to give to you to give to others. But then we also have some empty boxes where you may be able to find some stuff. When I say stuff, I'll show you what you can put in them. But just a blessing, like you think of the next door neighbour. You know, we're blessed at the moment where we are. There's no lockdowns, but the whole world is in COVID crisis. People need encouragement. It may be dropping it off to the doctor or the nurse and saying, "You just do an amazing job to keep us all healthy." So, like, it's like little things like socks, and it's a scrub and something to scrub it with, and a little note: "You are beautiful." And we could write it on the back if you personally know the person, you know. "Dear Sandra, I saw that you really needed encouragement today. I just want to tell you that you are beautiful, that you are amazing, that God loves you, and, you know, love in your name." You know, we all love it when we get something. You might think the person's a gardener and they love get a pot with a plant in it. Or maybe just a lovely pot. Fruit, food. Make a dish, put it in. It doesn't matter what it is. So wherever you are, you could make up something like this. And in the boxes, I've got it. We've even printed some things where it says, "You are beautiful, you are worthy, you are loved." You can get your own blank cards. You can buy your own cards if you want to and spoil someone specifically to share with them love and encouragement, share with them a blessing. And, you know, if they ever came back and said, "Why did you do that for me?" Just gently, even if they're not a Christian, you can just say, "Because God in my life has blessed me and I desire to be a blessing to others." Simple little thing. And sometimes little things like that actually start the person thinking, "Wow, maybe I need to know this God." We don't have to be big evangelists standing on the sidewalk shouting out. We can be beautiful, loving evangelists in our home and in our neighbourhood. The other thing that we need to do, we need to remind ourselves that we are blessed. So I've, just like God reminded me, I've got to sometimes wrap it round me. I'm blessed. You know, the saying in Jewish when Jesus was sharing this, it wasn't "blessed are the poor in spirit." It says, "Oh, the blessedness of." Remember, he comes from the Jewish culture. There's a thing where they very much had, "Oh, the blessedness of." Oh, the blessedness of God. Oh, the blessedness of having a house to live in. Just put something on the end. But Jesus himself was definitely trying to say, "Oh, the blessedness of being vulnerable, of being helpless before the Lord, because you have got the kingdom. You have an entrance into the kingdom when you are have that, you know, attribute." So I want to know, Emma, who needs to remind themselves that they're blessed? So I've got a couple of these. I'm just going to wrap it around you. You've got to know that you're blessed. I found this a couple of years ago. And I went, "I've got to buy it." Bruce goes, "How are you going to bring it home in your suitcase?" I said, "Don't worry, I'm excellent." And I just squashed in, because guess what it says? I have it in my house. I've got to remember I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I even found these. Now, you know how we have a to-do list? Because you know how we've got all these things we've got to achieve or do or clean or whatever. Sorry, it's just life, isn't it? It just is. But my to-do list down the bottom says, "Count my blessings, practice kindness, let go of what I can't control, be productive yet calm, just breathe." breathe in God, breathe in the Spirit. So I want you to know that you are blessed. I want you to realize that God is so amazing that He's given us. We don't have to do it. All I have to do is say, Lord, I'm available, come. I want to be more in tune with you. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to be blessed in my life. And to do that is just to acknowledge more God to be in our life. So I'm going to leave you with being able to have some wonderful food. We want to bless you. That's why we do it. I want you to be able to be a blessing to each other in sharing. I want you to think of ways that you can be a blessing, but then ways of, I need to write down, how blessed am I that I have this? How blessed am I that I do this? How blessed am I? Because we are so blessed. We are so blessed, and we need to recognize it.